For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg.
And we welcome you to the morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Well, I'm trying to suppress some really strong feelings of envy as we embark on a conversation about an amazing trip that 19 Carthage College students took towards the end of June. A trip to New York City to experience some of the very best theater that one can possibly experience. And we're going to be joined today on the morning show, first of all, by their fearless leader, Dr. Herschel Kruger, a professor of theater at Carthage, his wife, Maureen Kruger, who also teaches in the theater department at Carthage and engages in excellent set design, and two of the students, for sure, who were part of this marvelous trip, both of whom are going to be sophomore music theater majors at Carthage, Maria Romero and Lorelei Amborn. And we welcome all four of you to the morning show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you here.
Good morning.
And we may have a third student visiting us as well, if technology permits. But in the meantime, I'm sure we will, even with just the four of us, have a lively conversation about what sounds like an absolutely fantastic trip. Professor Kruger, let's just start with some background. Is this a trip that regularly occurs at Carthage with theater students? And how many times has it occurred, if indeed this is something that has already happened at Carthage?
Yes, this is a course that Maureen and I designed together, I think about 2009. And we've been doing it every even year, J-term in June, except for our COVID years, so starting in 2010. And I don't know if you remember back then, they used to want us to have catchy names for J-term courses. So it was originally entitled New York Theater and Art, A Slice of Cultural Cheesecake. So that was our original title until we got past that a few semesters ago and made it a regular J-term catalog course. Just New York City theater and art, modern theater and art. So
you cut the cute. So who is available to go on this? I mean, it's obviously conceived, I should think, with primarily theater students in mind, but is it limited to them, or is any Carthage student eligible to go?
Yeah, any Carthage student is eligible. This year was strange. We only had one non-theater major minor. Usually we'll have a couple nursing students or education students who will attend. And, you know, there's always a mix. Some years it's been even. This year has been heavily skewed. There's 18 theater majors, minors, and only one non-major. So, you know, that was, I'd say, the most lopsided our ratio has been.
Hmm. Take us back to 2009, 2010, when the two of you put this proposal together. What were you sort of thinking at the time in terms of what sort of a need would this address or void would it fill? What prompted you to want to create this in the first place?
Yeah, I think our focus for the class itself was based in the changes that happened in the turn of the century between in the modern era, I guess you'd say, going to the 19th to the 20th century, and discussing starting kind of there, and then looking at how theater had changed, theater and art, you know, had changed, and voices were more vocal and individual thoughts and ideas were strong. So we wanted to base it on that era and then look at, you know, present day, how those how those changes influence the present day theater and art. So the kids, the kids do some research and things to prepare us for the shows that we see and the places that we visit and stuff like that too. So there's an academic aspect to it. So when we do go to these places or go to a show, or we have a better understanding of what we're seeing, you know, so it gives it that extra layer of knowledge, you know, to each thing. So that was important. I mean, we have loads of fun. We go all over the city. The students can attest to that. We walk everywhere and, you know, they got their steps in. But there's a really wonderful balance between, you know, like that entertainment aspect, but then also educational, you know, core element to it, which really I think makes it a lot deeper of an experience for the students.
Yeah, and right in the short description of the course title, it says, you know, this is about the influences and expressions of modern art and theater from its origins in the late 19th century until today. And so we study all the different isms in both movements and really see, I think students recognize more on the stage all the different influences, and we can talk about that in stylization and storytelling. And
I think what's interesting too is finding out too, like, what artists were doing at that time and how it influenced in the theater, you know, styles and development of different conventions and things like that, that, you know, we don't kind of live like in a little vacuum. The world's large and we influence each other all the time, you know, in different disciplines. So what I like about the trip is there's a nice balance between art and theater and finding those worlds and how they complement each other.
Yeah, we do several museum trips as well and try to pay particular attention to the artists from this era as well as others, but that's always our grounding space.
Yeah, we go to the Met, we go to MoMA, we go to the Guggenheim, so the three big ones that we go to, which are three very unique museums, you know. So I really am happy that we're able to kind of work that in within this. We see about 10 shows, so we do a lot.
Right, a lot is packed in, yes. Before we bring in our students, is there a sort of classic classroom component to this? I mean, are you meeting together with the students in a classroom before you depart for New York City, or is all of that sort of background sort of woven into the trip itself?
Yeah, we usually have 3 to 4 meetings. You know, the first is usually an informational meeting and really trying to prepare them for what's to come, as well as giving them a research assignment where they have to complete a project, that then we have another meeting where everybody presents all their work and a follow-up, or it depends on the year and the way the calendar falls. So sometimes we do more like at the beginning of the spring semester or even at J-term, but you also have other people who are away. And so we're thinking about, you know, where I was thinking about how can we make this better. So I think next time, because with Zoom and that technology, it might be easier to meet a couple times during J term and have some of this work out and done out in front.
And a nice thing that we do also, like, besides the, you know, they get a lot of things loaded up front, a lot of information and stuff like that before we leave. But what we kind of incorporated this year, which I thought was nice, was a little topic refresher. So before we cross the Brooklyn Bridge, or before we go you see a show, or before, you know, whatever it is that we're doing before we go into the museum, that there's certain artwork that we're looking at it, or that's there present there, is that we have them each do a little topic refresher. So it's like 5 points to remind people, like, the most important things to think about when you are looking at Van Gogh's Starry Night, you know, if that was your topic or what have you. So I think that was helpful, because otherwise we used to do the presentations kind of at, you know, at that time, but that's a lot. You know, there's a lot that students are taking in just being in New York City, just moving through the city and navigating it. So I think that shortened refresher thing was a nice way to kind of get us back there, but then allow for a little bit of breath, you know? Mm.
For those of you just joining us, we're speaking today on the morning show about a really exciting trip that was undertaken by 19 Carthage College students, as well as Herschel Kruger and Maureen Kruger, a trip to New York City, June 11th to June 24th, which involved a melding of the worlds of theater and art, and they saw some amazing shows, went to several world-famous museums, and experienced a tremendous amount of excitement. So in addition to Herschel Kruger and Maureen Kruger, we have two of the students with us as well, Lorelei Amborn and Maria Romero. I want to ask each of you, let's start with Lorelei, what prompted you to want to sign up for this? I know for a fact, having been and still am your uncle, that you've been to New York City before. What enticed you about this particular opportunity?
Yeah, so the last time I was in New York, I was, I think, 13, so I was in middle school. So I kind of like sort of remember it, but not all the way. And I decided to sign up. The signups for this trip came out very early in the school year, and I was a freshman, so I didn't have a ton of friends like right away. I was still settling in, and I was talking to my parents, and they were like, well, like, you've done a lot of traveling for theater with your high school before, like, just bite the bullet and do it, and if you have a bad time, we won't make you do it again. And so I was like, okay. So I just kind of, I didn't really know anyone going on it. And I was like, whatever, I'm seeing like shows that is not good. That's going to be fun no matter what. So I just kind of bit the bullet and signed up. And then as the year went on, I got to know different people. And then as the trip went on, I got to know new people. And yeah, it was so much fun.
That's great. How about you, Maria? Was this your first time to New York City? And what enticed you to want to register for this?
It wasn't my first time in New York City. However, I wanted to go again because there are so many different things to do. It's like you can't fit it all in one trip. So when I saw that Carthage provided me the opportunity to go, I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And like Lorelei said, I would get to meet new people, experience new things, and yeah.
Very good. So Professor Kruger and Maureen Kruger, tell us how the format was put together in terms of the shows that that all of you attended. How does that get put together, and what kind of consideration do you give to what there is time to see, what has to be left off? How does that get put together?
Yeah, it's tough because we have to get like a final number count. And so there's a point where we have to do a cutoff. And we always want to have our minimum number, but then not exceed a certain number, and then kind of be like, all right, this is our group. And the reason we need to set that number well ahead of time is because we can get better student ticket prices, you know, 4, 6, or 8 months out, where some of the shows, you know, we maybe saw for $59 for student rate, you wouldn't be able to get that student rate closer to it. It entails some risks. One of the shows we were going to see closed, Kimberly Akimbo, but we got a full refund for it, and then we added in something else. The other part is some new shows opened, so we weren't able to see The Outsiders. We didn't know how that was going to play, or the play with music, Stereophonic. So those were the two Tony Award-winning plays, and the Tony Award-winning play and musical that we didn't get to see. However, we had tickets to Hell's Kitchen and to the Merrily We Roll Along, and both of those shows won Best Actress in a Musical and Featured Actress in a Musical for Hell's Kitchen. And for Merrily We Roll Along, the Tonys went to the Best Male Performance and Featured Male Performance, or Actor, whatever, however they use those terms. But, you know, it was really exciting when we saw Hell's Kitchen. It was the first performance after the Tonys. So both of the stars, when they came out, got it. And same thing, and then a day later for Merrily We Roll Along, got these extended ovations. So it was really wonderful. So with that, there's the logistics of how can we get the shows we want to see for a price that fits our group budget. And then we have to find a variety of shows and styles.
I think that's what also like where we kind of take a look at the finding different voices, finding a mixture of straight plays and also musicals. Do we want a nice balance of that? and that we're interested in storytelling. We're also interested in taking them to different spaces so they're experiencing theater in a different theater space style. You know what I mean? I think that's really important. I think the students all really kind of responded that nicely. They really liked that, appreciated that. Because not only, you know, as we're looking at each, as we attend each performance, we have a discussion afterwards and we talk about, you know, different aspects, production, you know, aspects, but then also the play itself and the storytelling and style and all of that. So the students get an opportunity, you know, like in school, you learn all these things, sort of like that. But when you go and see theater, you know, you're responding to something that you just experienced. So you're using all those tools that you have in the classroom to then learn how to articulate what it is you see and how you process all of that experience. And, you know, and I always love that part when we're talking. It's always a challenge in New York because it's so noisy. We always try to find a quiet spot. But what the students have to say and what they share is always really, really wonderful, you know, and it helps us grow too as professors. You know, we share our thoughts, but then they share our thoughts. So it opens, we all learn, you know, a lot from each other.
Yeah, and there may be plays that people don't like, but we don't approach it that way. And I think most of the students are pretty articulate as to what draws them in or what doesn't. But we usually, and the students have been really good about saying, you know, about still what they saw and what they learned rather than, oh, I didn't like the play. What, you know, you know, it does come out and we do discuss it, but, you know, we feel pretty good because they have a discerning eye and taste as to what they like and don't like. And it's different for certain students, you know, and I really liked Water for Elephants, where I think half the group really didn't care for it for certain reasons, but there were,
but then we had the conversation about, like, Kent, well, what was it that drew you out? Because that, you can't just say, I don't like something. You know what I mean? Why? What was it? So that leads for good discussion and a lot of learning, right? Sure.
And I understood their points as to why they didn't like it. But I think I was maybe more drawn into it because I had read the book and I had very fond memories of it. And I liked the way it came to life. It was very exciting. It was different than some of the other shows. And I think there were shows that I may have liked, like Uncle Vanya, that I think some of our students may not have liked as much. Hmm. And ask them.
Yeah, we'll get them some agreements and rebuttals in a second. I want to ask about kind of the nature of these conversations. I mean, in the sense of the recaps, once you saw something, I mean, were you sitting down kind of semi-formally to have a conversation about what you just saw, or is this more just as you're walking down the sidewalk or in the lobby of the hotel? I mean, were they those kind of conversations, or I suppose maybe both, but I mean, were some of your conversations about what you saw really like, sit down, let's formally talk about this?
Yeah, they were more formal. I don't know if you want to.
Well, they were formal but informal. I mean, our locations was our main goal was to find a shady spot, I think, because it was pretty warm. But they were informal, but, you know, but we did our best. I mean, you know, you always try to create like a little bit of a circle to kind of hear voices and stuff like that. Or at times we had people stand up and just kind of present because the sound was being swallowed up by the city, you know, your voice. But there's always structure in how we approach it. So the kids kind of got an idea as kind of where we were going with it. And we tried to change it up a little bit just to keep it interesting, you know, so we're always kind of fresh or and stuff like that. But there's definitely, it's probably one of the most important aspects, I think, of seeing the plays. You know, like I said, you know, from when we first, the first question is really about what did you see when you first walked in? So we're talking about, you know, how did they set the mood for, or what information did the production team present to you to tell you about where you're going or where you are in time? And, you know, be it, you know, through sound, be it through what they're presenting on the stage, what they're, you know.
Or the difference of walking into the Soho Rep, which was set up really long and wide, maybe 150 seats, versus being at Lincoln Center in their main space. What's that stage called? And you know, you're with 3,000 people. Yeah, Lean. So.
Oh no, not Lena Horne. Sorry.
You know, so right away the atmosphere that you're in, and some shows had a show curtain, and some shows had, the Vivian Beaumont Theater at Lincoln Center, where we saw Uncle Vanya versus the fires at Soho Rep or the Welkin at Atlantic Theater Company, which is maybe 250, you know, versus thousands. So there's the intimacy, the how this. stage is set up, is there music playing? You know, several shows used a traditional show curtain, others it was open. So, you know, there's always information that we're walking into and absorbing.
And Greg, too, because some of the older theater houses themselves is a whole conversation. You know, such beautiful houses and just all of the molding and chandeliers and the curtains and all that. So paintings. So just taking in all of that, you know, is a lot of fun also. And just really recognizing and acknowledging the history of some of these houses, you know.
Fantastic. So let's turn to our two students and get some thoughts on the shows that you saw and kind of collectively what your experience was like, and also maybe particularly things that you especially appreciated and maybe others that left you a little more bewildered. Lorelei, I know for a fact, has seen plenty of shows in New York City before this. Maria, I know you'd been there before. Had you seen theater in New York before this trip?
No, I have not. So it took me by surprise when I got to see so many wonderful actors and performers in these shows. And seeing those shows just strengthened my want to be an actor and an actress. And it was so marvelous. There's like no words to describe how amazing these shows were, and to see them be put on in such wonderful theaters and surroundings.
Very good. How about you, Lorelei, as more of a grizzled veteran of theater in New York City? What was this time like, and how did it differ from previous times that you've been to that amazing city and seen theater?
Yeah, so I think one thing that was really interesting about this time is that the last time I was in New York and saw shows, I was there for the revival of Once on This Island, and then I saw the revival of Hello, Dolly, both of which were shows that I knew a ton about. I listened to the cast recording a ton of times. I was, like, really crazy about both of them. And I talked to Herschel and Maureen a lot about, on this trip, I think every single show except for six, I had never really looked up, never heard of, never listened to. And I think that was like the best thing about it, because I walked into all these theaters having no idea like who the stars were in it, what it was about, who wrote it. If it was one of the most like emotionally moving shows we saw, we walked in and sat down and I said, this is a comedy, right? Like before it started, like I knew nothing about any of them. And that was so good because it just I put everything away and I was just so like engrossed because I had no idea what was going to happen. And so I think definitely from now on, like that's, if I hear that I'm going to go see a show, I don't want to know anything about it before I go see it.
Now, was that by design? I mean, did you go into this trip intending to be that blank slate, or was life just busy enough that you didn't have the opportunity to be anything but a blank slate?
A little bit of both. If I had done some digging, I would have known, but I very genuinely didn't really look at what shows you were seeing until I think a week before we left. I knew like one or two of them, but I was just like they're gonna be good, like we're on Broadway, I'm not that worried about it. And then I also was just very busy during the school year with being in a show, and so I just kind of like left it up in the air, and I was like, okay, so but that now, like, definitely that's going to kind of be my on-purpose thing now. It enhanced it so much.
Interesting. So, Maria, I know that Lorelei has a little ranking of every show that all of you saw, which we'll hear from in just a second. Did you end up ranking the shows that you ended up seeing on this trip, or is it just all a happy blur?
Most of it is a happy blur. However, I have to say one of my most favorites that we saw was Water for Elephants. I thought it was such a compelling story. I was one of the few who did like it. But the reason I liked that show so much was because I have never seen a show where like you have that many acrobats and so many like cool tricks on stage. Like there were people coming down with like ribbons. They were spinning on hula hoops. And I was just so drawn into the show, into this character, into the story. I like couldn't take my eyes off it. Hmm. And I don't think I've definitely had that before with other shows, but this one just captured the most for me.
Can you summarize the story of what this show is about?
So Water for Elephants is about a memory of an old circus vet who finds himself in this circus and figures out more about what he wants to do, and he has to deal with all these crazy challenges, I'm blanking out, give me a minute. but he has to find his way in the circus where he belongs, and eventually ends up finding a good connection with this elephant named Rosie, and they go on this crazy adventure, and in the end we see how fondly he thinks of the circus, and it ends on such a beautiful note.
Yeah.
With him rejoining the circus in a future.
Very good. So, Lorelai, are you with Maria in liking this particular production, or are you one of the dissenters?
No, I did not like Water for Elephants at all. It, on my little list, it's second to last. I think the things that Maria said were all very true. I thought the acrobatics and the stunts and everything, the dancing was all crazy impressive. Nothing I could dream of doing. I think it also, it's a lot of, that's why I love it so much. It's so much of your own opinion and interpretation, because that sort of stuff to me in a show, while it's so impressive, that's not the thing that makes a show for me. What is gonna like make it big for me is the plot and the story. And so the whole time I was just kind of like, I've seen this like before in like 4,000 different movies, that it's like, like the underdog, and he's in love, and it's like, okay. But I liked it. There was never a show that I went to and was not, and then I left and I was like, I had a bad time. It was a good time, so I just didn't think it was amazing.
Right. Well, and what you're saying here is that sometimes going and experiencing live theater, it's not just about how much you liked it. And even when you don't like something, it can still be a really interesting experience, because, you know, you learn a lot about yourself and what's important to you artistically and so on. So let's throw it to you, Lorelai. What was your favorite of the shows that you saw?
So my favorite show that we saw was Merrily We Roll Along, which won the Tony for Best Revival of a Musical. I knew nothing about it. I knew that Jonathan Groff and Daniel Radcliffe and Lindsay Mendez were the big people in it. And I saw Jonathan Groff's acceptance speech on the Tonys a couple days ago, but I didn't know what it was about. Like, I knew it was like about friendship. That was really it. And I have never cried so much for so long after a show. That I was like, we were like shopping in Times Square, and I was in the stores like, I just loved it so much, because it was a flop when it first started on Broadway. It showed for like 4 performances, I think, and then it was like, everyone was like, this is not good. No. And I think coming out now, it's like such a relevant story about how like you need to cherish like the people around you and try to maintain your friendships and not let your own aspirations like get in the way of the people you love. And I think especially like as a group of young kids who all want to be performers or like, go into this industry that's kind of competitive, it was such like a great show to sit with your friends and watch and like just think it was so good. I loved it. So good.
I understand. Maria, what did you think of Merrily We Roll Along?
I thought it was a really good performance. I thought it was definitely funny. And like Lorelai said, I had no idea what I was getting into when watching it. I had done a show called Sondheim on Sondheim in high school, where I did a couple of the songs from the show, but I didn't realize what their impact was until I went to go see Merrily We Roll Along.
So you saw those songs in context and could probably appreciate them on a whole different level.
Yeah.
Very good. Maria, tell us about something else that you enjoyed during this trip. Let's stick again with the shows. What would be another show you want to talk about?
I guess one of the shows I would like to talk about is not one we saw with the group, but one I saw with a couple of friends when we had free time, was The Great Gatsby musical. Ah. I thought that was such... Wow, I was blown away by the acting, the background, the scenery, the songs. Unfortunately, we were originally going to see Jeremy Jordan in the show. That's one of the main reasons we went. However, he wasn't there. His understudy was there, but I would see the understudy over Jeremy Jordan any day. That show was just amazing, and I thought it captured the book really well.
Hmm. Fantastic. Lorelai, what's another show you'd like to talk about?
Sure. So my second favorite was Mother Play by Paula Vogel, which all three of the actresses in the play were Tony nominated. They didn't win. Didn't know anything about it. I knew the playwright from another play that I read just for fun in high school. But literally no clue. That was the one where I walked in. I was like, oh, this is a comedy, right? And it had Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory and everything in it. So I knew that. And I was like, okay. It literally was a roller coaster of emotions. It's one of those shows you see it and then you go home and then you look up everything about it and you learn as much as you can because you were like, that was crazy. And I learned that it was like a semi-autobiographical story from the playwright about her own life. And it kind of talked about, it was like a single mother and her two kids growing up and like throughout time. And it was called Mother Play, a play in five evictions. So it was about getting evicted from each place they were living or like where they lived in each point in time. And how like the kids grew up and matured and found things out about themselves and how the mother reacted. And it took you through like the like through everyone's lives. And it was just so moving. I remember I was sitting in the seats and I was between like a couple of my friends. And at one point I hadn't even started like crying yet, but one of the actors said something and my friend was like, oh, this is going to get Lorelai. And she just like handed me a tissue. But it was so good. And I think this trip especially gave me such a like good appreciation for straight plays, because being a musical theater major, being in Greg Burke's family, having your mom be a choir teacher, you do a lot of musicals. You think about music when you think about theater. And we saw a lot of straight plays and I loved them all just as much as the musicals. And it definitely gave me a new understanding of that, like straight plays can be just as moving, if not more sometimes than musicals can.
I agree with you. When I think of what I've seen in New York, a couple of the highest thrills were straight plays. I did not expect to love them as much as I did. And I'm also reminded, Lorelai, that a lot of times when we cry, it's not because something's sad. Sometimes you just cry because something is so incredibly good and you just feel like you're the luckiest person on earth to be sitting in that audience and seeing the second show that Kathy and I saw in New York was the musical 42nd Street. And I remember as the curtain first went up after the overture and the stage is filled with tap dancers and the curtain slowly rises and all you can see for a while is just all of these feet of these amazing tap dancers. And we both just started bawling. I mean, there wasn't the slightest sad thing about it, but it was just so incredible. And it's live and it's right before your eyes and you just feel this profound gratitude. So I'm with you. I understand why you had these reactions. I wonder if we could talk for a moment about the conversations that you and your fellow students had after these performances and what that was like. And you've probably done that to some extent in a lot of the things you've seen. I mean, you talk about what you've seen, but I suspect maybe this being a little more structured, maybe a little more formal, might have felt a little different than some of those kind of conversations. But I want to hear from both of you, Lorelai and Maria, about that aspect of this trip, the conversations that occurred after the performances you saw.
So we kind of, we would see the show, and then a lot of the times we'd all still kind of be like, whoa, after the show. So we wouldn't have our little talk right after. They kind of give us the night to like digest and think about it. And then in the morning, usually we would kind of lump in the show discussion with our topic refreshers. So we'd like get to where we were going or somewhere along the way and then stop in a shady place and do our like presentations. And then we'd talk about different aspects of the show, what we thought was interesting, what helped move the story, what was impactful for us. And sometimes it was like they'd like ask us all a question and we have to answer. And sometimes it was more open-ended discussion. But that was kind of how the conversations went. And then we were also like, we're free. Like the last day, I think we were just walking like on the sidewalk, and me and Herschel were just like chatting about Water for Elephants. And so it's like, you of course have opportunities to like just talk to like casually about what you saw.
Great. Maria, what do you have to add in terms of the conversations about the shows you saw?
So a lot of the conversations, like Lorelai said, did happen the day after, and I loved doing those conversations because you get like a different point of view every time for different shows from different people, what they noticed, what some that you didn't notice, and it was just very informational, and I thought it brought us all closer as a group because we got to know other people's opinions, and we were all like, oh, uh-huh. And we were all just very understanding with doing these conversations.
I want to give each of you a chance to talk about one more show that you just feel like you want to talk about. So, and Maria, let's start with you. What's one more show that we have not yet touched on that you feel like you want to say something about, positive or negative or whatever you want to say?
I think the last show I want to talk about is one of the last shows we saw as a group. It was called Home, and it followed the story of a young African-American who went to the city, to the north, to build a better life for himself, but ends up falling into the pit of despair and eventually finds his way back home, only to realize that this was his home and he felt at the most at peace there. And I thought it was such a compelling story because, yeah, we see these homeless people on the street. We don't know their stories. We don't know how they got there, how they wound up where they are. And I thought it was so interesting because some of them did go there to the city with like hopes and dreams, and only to be crushed with like reality, drugs, alcohol, all of that stuff. And it was so cool because it only contained three people and such a small set. And I thought that was one of the most impressive, straightforward shows I've saw.
That intrigues me very much. It reminds me that the best play I've ever seen in New York City was a play called Doubt that won the Tony Award that year for best play. And it was only a cast of four and no intermission, relatively short. And I've never had a more powerful experience sitting in an audience. I've never even seen an opera that I liked as much as I loved the play Doubt. So anyway, I understand how a play of on an intimate scale can be just as powerful as something that has far more grandeur and spectacle and so on. Lorelai, let's give you a chance to talk about one more show that you saw on this trip.
Sure. So another show that we saw as a group that was such an interesting experience. It was called The Fires, and it was at Soho Rep. So it was off Broadway. And we walked into the theater, and it was very much black box. Like it was the stage and then the audience, but it was a very small, intimate space. And I'd never seen a show like tackle its storyline in such an avant-garde like fashion before, because it was set in three different time periods and it stated that in the program. And so all my friends and I assumed that it was going to be like, okay, the 70s story is going to happen, and then the story in the 90s, and then the story in 2021. And what it actually was that all three of these stories were set in the same like physical apartment, just at different times. And all of the actors from the different time periods were on stage almost all of the time, even when it wasn't like their scene. So it's like, if the scene that was happening in the 90s was happening, that was happening,
but then the people from the 70s were like sleeping in the bed, or the guy from the like 2021 was like sitting on the couch reading his book, because that's what he was doing in like his time. So I thought, just like from a directing standpoint, and it was written and directed by the same guy, and it was, and so I thought that was like so new, like I'd never seen anything like that before. And I also loved like all three of the storylines all like intertwined, and you didn't really figure out why until like very far into the play. And it also played a lot with like how the audience interact, or not the audience, the actors interacted with the space. Like they would be on the stage, but also there was a point where one was kind of just like up, kind of like to the side of it, like just chilling out there. Or there was a point where an actor came in and walked in and sat in a reserved seat in the audience. It made it so much more like compelling. Like you couldn't, I remember sitting there and just being like, cause it was like all around you, and you couldn't take your eyes off of anything. It was so, so interesting.
Wow. That sounds fascinating. It really does. Lorelai, I know you have a list of rankings. I'm not asking you this because to hear your rankings, but just, you can rattle off every show that all of you saw. Okay. Would you just read that off for us?
Yes, we all as a group saw Merrily We Roll Along, Mother Play, The Fires, Hell's Kitchen, The Welkin, Six, Uncle Vanya, Water for Elephants, and Home.
There we go. In addition to seeing all these shows, Herschel and Maureen Kruger also made sure that you saw some museums to experience the arts in a different way. And of course, that's can be a very foreign landscape for someone who's been primarily, maybe even exclusively interested in theater and never really had that particular experience. So I want to hear from both of you about what that part of this was like, if it was meaningful. Maria, let's start with you. What did you think of this experience of visiting several of the most famous museums in the world?
I thought it was interesting because each museum focused on different aspects of arts. I know Guggenheim, the one thing that set it apart was how, I guess, modern of art it was. Like there was such interesting pieces of work. The Met had the signature dress collections from different designers, and it was so cool because that the dress part of the museum was like tackled a lot of senses. There was some, obviously there was sight, there was sound, there was smell, and it was like whoa, this it was incredible experience. And then the MoMA had each floor had different types of art, and it was cool getting to go to each floor, see how each painting changed, how each artist captured their art and made it a part of history, and just so much history wrapped in one building that it was like walking in the past, I'd say.
Wow. Very good. Lorelai?
Yeah, so the museums were really interesting for me because when we, like, the first day that we went to the Museum of Modern Art, I was like, okay, museums, I don't like them. Like, I'm not excited to go. And then we got there, and I was like, okay. I was like, I'm just, like, going to go to the top and look at the paintings and then sit and drink a coffee. And then, like, as I went up, I was like, wait, why is this interesting? And, like, by the end of the trip, because we went to the Museum of Modern Art, and I kind of, like, turned around there, and I was like, wait, I like this a lot. And then we went to the Met, and I think I hung out with Owen in the Met a lot, and we were, like, kind of the last people to leave, because it's, like, we were like, okay, we're going to leave now. And then we saw something, and we were like, no, we have to go look at that. And by the end of the trip, actually, some of the time, like, the free time that we had to ourselves, me and a couple other friends would voluntarily go to museums by ourselves. Like, we ended up going to, like, there was a Holocaust Memorial Museum, or we went to, this wasn't a museum, but we went to the Vietnam War Memorial, just, like, of our own volition, because we, like, started enjoying the museum so much, and it was, like, so interesting to, like, just read the little plaques and understand and look at each of, like, the brush strokes on art or the way that it all like came together. And so I'm so glad that we kind of like, because I would never have gone to a museum of my own like volition. And so I'm very glad that we were kind of forced to go to the museums, because now I'm like, if someone called me right now and was like, let's go to a museum and walk it, I'd be like, yes, let's go now. Because it just like kind of showed me, gave me a new appreciation of like how much work goes into everything and what it all means and how it can be interpreted.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, very good. Well, now I know what your next date with your Aunt Kathy is going to be. So real quick, I'm afraid we're just about out of time, but I want to hear from Maria and Lorelei about two of the touristy things that you did in New York City. I mean, so aside from the shows, aside from the museums, and I can give you 1 minute each. Maria.
One touristy thing we did was take a boat tour along the city. And while the person who was giving the tour wasn't as good, it was cool because we got to see Ellis Island, different spots that impacted New York's history, and different cool buildings that, oh, you didn't realize was there, but it was there.
Hmm. Great. Lorelei?
One touristy thing that a lot of us kind of did on our own, but we like organized it, so probably about half the group went. We went to the Museum of Broadway, which had a lot of different like props and costumes and things all set up from different shows. And there were also a lot of like photo ops, like you could take pictures with different set pieces and things. And that was so cool because like I learned a lot about shows I'd never known about, and I learned a lot about shows that I have seen a million times. So it was so fun. I loved it.
Wow. I've heard great things about that, and I've not yet had a chance to visit that. And that's way at the top of my list of things to do the next time we get to New York City. So in our closing minute or so, Herschel or Maureen Kruger, I imagine your heart sings to hear these students talking in such glowing terms about this trip.
Yeah, I mean, it's always different with the group that you bring and where they spend their free time. We also did the High Line Walk, which was the old raised railroad tracks along the west side, a lot of art installations. And it's changed so much since it's been there because they built the whole west side up around it. We also did the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. And that's changed too because all the buildings around it, almost all of them are completed. They still have to build 7 and they're supposed to build 2. Don't know when that's going to happen, but I think building 7, they're going to be starting very soon. But just seeing how all the trees have grown in and how the memorial fits right into the city now, it's like you almost walk into it. It's just part of the whole. And one of our friends was saying, who still lives in New York, he's like, this summer feels like, since COVID, is like the first summer that New York is back. It's changed in certain ways, but it feels like the energy of the city and everything is back. I don't know. I'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think just for, I think it, I saw the students just kind of like just grow in their confidence walking through the city and in their voice about how they talked about the shows. So I think that the trip is really valuable for them as artists, because everything that they experienced, all the shows they saw, all the performances, everything, they're going to take all of that and put that back into, you know, what they present for this next year, you know, and bring a lot of strength and power to their performances, be it, you know, if they're designing or if they're acting or, you know, directing and all of that. So we were excited to take them, and you know, and we look forward to our next trip. Mm. You know,
2026.
Yeah.
Very good. Herschel and Maureen Kruger, Maria Romero, Lorelei Emborn, I thank you so much for joining me today on the Morning Show for this conversation about what sounds like an absolutely fantastic, maybe life-changing trip. And best wishes to all of you as through this summer and through a new school year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the Morning Show, we will be previewing the Starving Artist Fair in Racine, which will be coming up this Sunday on the grounds of the De Koven Center. The Morning Show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. Look for the Morning Show archive on our website, wgtd.org. And don't forget that the Morning Show can also be heard as a podcast. Look for the Morning Show with Greg Berg. Sunny, hot, and humid today. A 30% chance of rain, a high of 89, and heat index close to 98 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, a 50% chance of rain, a low of 73. We hope it won't rain on the Kenosha Pops' final concert of the summer at Pinoyer Park. Tomorrow, Thursday, cloudy, hot, and humid, a 60% chance of rain. Tomorrow's high, 86. This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.